Look at me, I'm a millennial. I have a subscription to avocado toast.
Hey, welcome back to Dot Grid, a show at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Will Fangy. I'm one of your hosts, and your other host is seated across from me digitally, and his name is Mr. Andy Welfley.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sitting on my couch with my mic hooked up to a coffee table because I have weird internet.
Man, I was seriously thinking about recording this from the Lazy Boy tonight. I am at home living the bachelor life for a week because my lovely wife is currently en route to Paris, France, so she can go live that Parisian lifestyle without me. And I seriously considered trying to rig up a way for me to sit in the Lazy Boy and do this, but I figured it would just eventually just descend into me snoring into the microphone, and I feel like that's not good podcasting.
I discovered that the closer my computer is to the Wi-Fi node that is connected into the Ethernet, the better Skype is. So go figure. So when I go back to my bedroom, which, like, it's a small apartment, it's not that far away from the internet, but from the main node, things kind of glitch out and just get gross. So Katie's back in the bedroom and I'm sitting in the living room talking to you.
Yeah, I remember last time we were both kind of situated in the back parts of our homes. I'm in the same room I was in last time, albeit 90 degrees different around the side of the table, staring at a blank wall because nothing says inspiring like a blank white wall, and the room is still wrecked. Because, you know, I asked her, I said, do you want me to do anything with the room while you're gone in Paris? She said no, which I think means probably yes, because I don't know. Maybe I don't do married well, but figure I'll at least get rid of some of these Amazon boxes. Do you do that? Like, how often do you order stuff from Amazon? And I'm not going to jump into the main topic just yet, but this is sort of loosely related.
Yeah. How often do I order stuff from Amazon? We have, like, Prime as, like, everybody at this point seems like they would. I would say maybe two a week, two boxes of something a week from there.
Okay, that's reasonable.
We actually just signed up for Amazon Fresh, but we're probably not going to keep it because it just seems like we could just go down and buy our own produce.
Yeah, we order about the same. I would say at least once a week, if not two or three times a week. But see, the thing is, we end up ordering a lot of stuff for Elizabeth shoots from Amazon, because you can find, like, the last shoot she did was Christmas themed, even though it was the end of July. So where else are you going to find, like, slip on elf shoes and, you know, Christmas sheet music besides Amazon? Thanks, yeah. Amazon. So now I have, like, I'm literally looking at this stack of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's like a dozen boxes in here that are just empty that we can't just get rid of, because what if we got to send stuff back? Because most of it gets sent back.
Hi, Amazon. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, Amazon. Thanks.
Prime. What's the weirdest thing you bought from Amazon in the last month?
In the last month. Oh, gosh. See, because that actually eclipses. I bought two bow saws from Amazon in the last month.
Ooh, nice.
Right? Oh, and yeah. One fake child bow saw.
Huh. A fake child bow saw.
Yeah, it came with a set of other fake tools that were made out of plastic. They wanted a bunch of options for the Christmas tree chopping down / sawing down shoot. So yes, I literally had two 36-inch bow saws delivered to my house via Amazon in the last month.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's, if you wanted weird, you got weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird thing. What about you? What's what have you ordered from Amazon that you were like, haha, I never thought Amazon would sell that?
Corner rounder for my... So I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I...
Oh, no, let's jump into it now.
I produced a zine. No,
hold on. You produced a zine.
I produced a zine. I wanted around the corners. They were going to charge me $300 at the printer to round the corners, and I could buy my own corner rounder for $120. So that's what I did.
So you own a corner rounder, and now you know that you don't corner round unless you're corner rounding in a box.
And I can, yeah, it just gets the corners. Pro tip, corners get everywhere. It looked like a Kinko's in here for a little while. If anybody needs anything, any corners rounded, I'm your man.
I agree. I mean, I feel I got my issue of the zine, which I do want to talk about here in just a second. I got my issue of the zine, and I was thoroughly impressed by not just the content quality, but the build quality. And so I was showing it to Elizabeth, and she was like, oh, this is really nice. I was like, yeah, Andy rounded those corners himself. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, they sell machines for that.
Turns out, I watched all of BoJack Horseman while I folded those folded those zines.
This was when Katie was still out of town too. Huh?
Yes. Yep. It was definitely like I just took over the entire living room with this. So it was easier that way. Before we do talk about that stuff, should we talk about the announcement?
The big announcement, the
talking about our swag tech stack.
Our swag tech stack, hashtag swag stack.
Swag stack.
Swag stack.
I'm here to announce the Dot Grid swag stack. We took advantage of some pretty sweet Sticker Mule. I always get MailChimp and Sticker Mule confused. I don't know why. Button Frogs. We took advantage of some Sticker Mule sales, and we had made a limited run of Dot Grid stickers and Dot Grid 1-inch buttons. So the stickers are actually really cool. We made two of them that are sold as a set. And one is the little, if you look at our album art, one looks like a telephone, a little like smartphone, and one looks like a little notebook. So turn both of those into stickers. If you get them and put them somewhere, you should put them next to each other or use your favorite thing if you're more analog or if you're more digital. And also made a little button that is our kind of based off of our like Twitter logo that just says Dot Grid on it. So I have mine on the back of my book bag, and I still need to note to self, send you yours.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're so limited edition and they're so niche that only Andy Wellfleet owns them.
They're all mine. I'll send you yours before we actually like release this episode and they go up for sale. So we're just going to piggyback off of the Erasable shop because I already have a little like storefront set up there.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Tim.
But you guys can help us pay for our podcast hosting. So if you would like to help support the show and maybe buy a sticker set or a button. You can buy the sticker set for $6. You can buy the button for $3. Or if you wanted to buy both of them, save $2 and get them both for $7. So $7 for two stickers and a button. You can't
beat that. And our never ending love and admiration.
And that is, I believe that would cover a month of this podcast being hosted. Is that right?
I am currently just being billed. I don't know. It's like $10 or $12 a month. Simplecast was working out really well.
Yeah.
I know we talked about that very, very briefly at the top of last episode. I'm really happy with their analytics tracking. I'm really happy to know that we had more than 500 people download the last episode within 3 or 4 days of it launching.
That's bananas. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me feel really great because, you know, especially after, you know, you figure people would delete the feed from their podcast things when we only released 2 episodes in 2 years.
Yeah.
But look at us. We're back on it. I'm really liking Simplecast. So if you want to help us pay for Simplecast and pay for the docgrid.xyz domain registration, anything that we make over the top will be reinvested either into swag or into the podcast itself. We strongly considered just buying ourselves each, I don't know, we were either going to buy ourselves beers or Lamborghinis or ponies.
Bosa's.
Miniature ponies.
Yeah.
But we decided that we were going to invest it back in. So anything, this is a not-for-profit podcast. So anything that we make over the top will be reinvested into either more stickers or more swag or some way to improve the tech stack that we're in right now. Luckily, Andy and I both own solid microphones, and one of us works at Adobe, so we both have access to Adobe Premiere to do all of our... Is that what it is? Is Premiere the video? Audio?
Audition. Audio thing.
Yeah, I have access to Premiere as well, but you don't want to see the video version of this. I'm naked, so that's just not... I'd podcast best without pants on.
For the love of God, don't give us enough money to do a video stream.
To do a video stream? No, that would not work at all. What? I'm home by myself. What else would I do? I'm going to have a really weird pattern on my butt. You should see the netting on these old chairs. It's super weird. All right, we're getting a little blue. I do want to make another brief announcement. Oh, I'm sorry. The tech swag stack, you covered the analog part. Do you want to tell people about the digital part of the tech swag stack as well? I'll give you a hint. It's on Facebook and you
might. Oh, I forgot about that.
Right.
We have now with one of the new versions of Facebook, like the new releases of Facebook, you have a platform for making profile frames. And I was just like, you know what? I want to do that. So I just real quick whipped up a profile frame. So if you follow, if you like the dot grid page, you should have access to a custom profile frame called Dot Griddle. And all that does is it puts some dots over your profile picture, and it says Dot Griddle at the bottom in our kind of like branding colors and fonts. So do you have any earthly idea how somebody can like go out and find this frame, Will?
I do. I did this on purpose, actually. If you go to the Dot Grid Facebook page, I purposefully put up a post that uses that with an image that uses the frame, and you should just be able to click on that image, and then somewhere in there in the options, we don't see, you don't work at Facebook anymore, so I can't complain about how bad the UI is.
It says try it.
It says try it, and you can then throw the frame on top of that. Right now, we currently have 4 people using the frame. Your hosts are 2 of them. Les Harper, thank you very much. You're one of the other ones. And who's our 4th person, Andy?
Probably Mike Hagan, who runs the
It is
Led
Mike
Fest.
Hagan. Yeah. It is the great Mike Hagan. So thanks to both of you. We appreciate
What about Harry
that
Marks? Are you using a Harry Marks?
Harry Marks, if you adopt this Facebook frame, we have a special Facebook frame in store for you. I'm not going to ruin it.
Yeah.
But if I have visual evidence that you have adopted this Facebook frame, you have my honest to God promise that we will do everything we can to put out the other custom frame that Andy has been designing for you. I don't want to ruin it. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Don't want to overblow it by any means.
So analog swag and digital swag, all part of the same hashtag swag stack.
That's what we do here at Dot Grid, hashtag swag stack. Speaking of coining new terms, segue, we came up with a better title for the recommendations engine that we now run on this podcast. Is not technically a recommendations engine. I don't even want to talk about what we called it last time. I just want to pretend that that episode is in the past and move on.
You know what? It's in the past. We've all grown as people.
We have moved on. And now it came to me in my sleep. Literally, I was dozing off one night and I rolled over and said to Elizabeth, "Hey, I need you to text me this so I have it in the morning." The name of our recommendation engine is, and I'm not going to do a drum roll for this one, Pencils and Pixels.
Copyright 2017, Will Fange.
TM, 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 TM. Trademark TM. So we figure it's digital. Yeah, Pencils and Pixels. It's digital. It's analog. It's, you know, it's this podcast in a nutshell. So for those of you that are new to the show and don't have any idea what we're talking about, Pencils and Pixels is the part of the podcast where Andy and I both pick an analog and digital tool or item or what have you. One of each, one analog, one digital. It's a recommendation. So it's one thing that we recommend. And we've already talked about Andy's analog tool a little bit. I want to jump right back into that. I like both of your picks this time around, by the way, because they are things that are both near and dear to my weird internet heart.
Also totally phoned in. Sorry.
Yeah,
guys.
Completely. Andy sent me a text message at like 3:30 that it was like, "Dude, I have no idea what I'm picking for Pencils and Pixels. I may have to do it on the fly." And I was like, "That's great. I've only had mine typed in for 3 weeks. Wonderful. Yeah, we'll just do it on the fly. It's cool. It's cool." Andy, what's your pencils / analog pick?
That would be something literally to do with pencils. It's something I'm afraid that I can't recommend to you to actually get a copy because we're sold out. And that is the zine that we are doing as sort of a paper companion to Erasable podcast called Plumbago. It's a zine, but like this issue has been much better quality than the last one that we put out. It's 36 pages of feature stories and comics and photos and poetry about pencils and about stationery, just sort of like collected from the community. And I made 300 of them, and I pretty proud of myself. It sort of gets back to my roots as a, I don't know what the right word is. It's like
as a zine producer,
this is going to sound really pretentious, but like kind of as a journalist, like I was a student newspaper editor. I really loved like collecting stuff from people, arranging it nicely and printing it. And this kind of got back to that. So, yeah, it was lots of fun. It took lots of time. And we sold out, which is amazing. But, this time around, I am putting the, like a PDF download for it up on the website for sale. One nice thing about Squarespace sales is that you can sell digital downloads.
Yes.
So for $4 for the foreseeable future. Like, I don't know when I would take this down. You can go to erasable.us/shop and download a copy of Plumbago. Unfortunately, you will not get a really beautiful corner rounded paper zine, but you can still read the amazing stuff that people had to write in there. So I think we're going to try to do this twice a year. And the next one will be at the end of 2017. And I am playing around with the idea of doing a poetry and fiction issue.
I have to say that I did not get my hands on the first issue of Plumbago. I did see it digitally, like I saw pictures of it and things like that. I didn't actually put my hands on it. But I will say that this is – I got my copy because obviously I support my friends and their endeavors and also support the Erasable podcast, the number two pencil podcast on the internet. But I have to say, man, and – I'm going to do this because I can. That's a really high quality like publication. Like,
thank you.
You can tell the time and energy that you invested into this. I don't know how you sourced the covers. The covers are like this beautiful like gradient of like orange and pink. Like
I believe that's called ombre.
It's an you are an ombre, sir. You're a good ombre.
It's good ombre.
You're a good ombre. It's this beautiful like transition of colors. The printing is done really well. The layout on the inside, I know you spent a lot of time on. It's also really high quality. It is worthy of your pencils pick for this episode.
Well, thank you.
I will say. If you can only pick one thing analog in this world to recommend, that's a good thing to recommend.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And how about your analog pick?
My pick also has rounded corners.
Ooh.
I know, where it's a rounded corners kind of day.
I didn't do them for you, so I hope that you didn't do this yourself because I would be betrayed.
I did not. No, these came from from Rounded Corner Central. This came from Field Notes. I did not realize that they had these in stock until the that Wednesday that they had a couple weeks ago. If you're a Field Notes fan at all, you know what Wednesday I'm talking about. They do this every so often. They'll come in and say, hey, yesterday was Tuesday, tomorrow's Thursday, but today is Wednesday, and that's how these things go. And often if you order on that Wednesday or that Thursday or whatever day they end up doing, you get something special tucked in with your order. And I was like, well, I'm a sucker for limited edition. Thanks, Field Notes, you got my number. and typically they send you a pack of Pitch Black, which is great, but I now have like multiple unopened packs of Pitch Black for every time they do this. This time around, you got a two-pack of them in Butcher Blue, and they say Wednesday on them.
That's awesome.
So it's like it's the Wednesday pack. That's not what I'm recommending. I am recommending what I got in order to get that order, and that is the Field Notes 56-week planner. They talk about how when Ambition was released, remember when Ambition was released right around the time we started the podcast back mm-hmm. in, I guess, 2015, had that great gold gelding on the outside. And,
yeah.
They had a really positive response to their yearly planner that came in with that, the one that doesn't necessarily start in January and end in December or what have you. It just starts whenever. And so what they did was they made they're not spiral bound. They're double. It's double O ring bound, the same size as the arts and sciences were in an unnumbered 56-week planner. So, like, I literally picked mine up in the middle of July and started using it as my analog planner for when I have meetings at work and things like that. I also like to go in the mornings and write down. I have a sticky note on the front of it that says, "What three things will make you feel like you had a productive day?" And so I go in each day and write down the three things, regardless of what's on my Asana list or my Todoist list. So again, we're not getting into that this time around. But I write down the three things that are on the list that I can say, if I do these three things, I would feel like I had a productive day, and I can go home and say, yeah, I did things today. So I write down my meetings for the day, and I write down my three things, and then I put a check mark next to them when I get done. I don't like to scratch them out because sometimes maybe I want to go back and see what day I did certain things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got this 56 weeks planner. It's got the really solid chipboard cover and back. It stands up really well in my bag, which doesn't hold its form like it used to, because I don't carry a laptop from place to place anymore. Ever since I did not get the touchbook. Did I tell you this already, that I ended up not getting a touchbook and I'm super disappointed?
You got the same new one.
I got the MacBook Escape.
Yes.
With 256 gigabytes of memory, and it's nice, but my boss is not, well, my boss's boss, the guy that runs the company, isn't particularly tech savvy. And this is a man who asked me last week to help put together a PowerPoint template for him, and it took me like 30 seconds, maybe a minute. And all I could think to myself was, I literally took a class on this when I was a sophomore in high school. So he's not particularly tech savvy. I mean, it's a nice computer. I love it, but it stays at work. So my bag doesn't keep shape very often. And no matter how much I can toss things around, on Fridays we have the dog toys and the dog water bowl in there and stuff. And still, the 56-week planner holds up really well. So that is my that's my analog recommendation for this episode. That's my pencils pick this time around. Nice. I like it. There's a link to it in the show notes, obviously. If you want to go out and pick that up, I put a link to it in the show notes. So, do you want to talk about what your digital pick is this time around? I know this is another endeavor that's near and dear to your heart. You've invested blood, sweat, and digital tears in.
Not really. This one was a hell of a lot more fun than... I mean, Plumbago was fun, but it was also just a lot of work. So, my neighbor in the building... my neighbors are some of the coolest people. Chris Bunting is his name. Should all go follow, at I Enjoy the Beach on Twitter because he's amazing. He has a, Thursday morning radio show on BFF.FM, which is like a community radio streaming radio station. And of course in San Francisco, a streaming radio station can be as popular as a terrestrial radio station. And he is just has a really great little like piece of the community carved out. And he's just a very like optimistic, interesting, funny guy. And one of the things that he and his co-host of that radio show do every year is they host a guacamole party and like cooking contest. So you can attend the guac off, as it were. So he started it six years ago, and it started as basically just like him and some friends in their backyard. I promise I'm actually getting somewhere with this. And it has since blossomed into a thing that 400 people go to, with 30 different guacamoles being competing against each other, and showcase guacamoles from restaurants around the area. And it's like a big free party. So he wanted to come up with some better ways to promote it. And so he registered right when all the TLDs were opening up. He registered guacamole.expert, which is kind of the best URL I've ever heard in my life, the domain. And so he built a website last year, but this year we made it a little bit more. We built it out a little bit more. And he just came over to me. He's a developer. He came over to me and he said, Andy, I could really use some content love for this website. So we sat down and had some beers and some pizza and put together a really awesome website. So go to guacamole.expert. If you live in San Francisco, you should come September 9th and you can kind of like say that you're coming through there. If you're not going to bring a guacamole to compete, you should bring some drinks. And it's a big party. So maybe one of the most fun things I've ever sort of like did content polishing and strategy for is guacamole.expert.
I'm not going to ruin it, but it would behoove you to experience guacamole.expert on a desktop computer. That's all I'm going to say. I will say that the last version, which I still had pulled up in old tabs as of earlier today, was also very cool. I appreciated some of the
accelerometer things.
Well, it was an accelerometer thing. It also did it with the mouse. We shouldn't talk about it too much cause it's dead now.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Really cool stuff. But yeah, guacamole.expert again, both of these things are Andy Welfley love projects. So
typically I'm not just going to use this to like pit my crap. So
to I'll try to the other shit you're working.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. So it just so happened today when, you know, I phoned it in, I just had these like two things that I could talk about. So, what is your digital pick this week?
Well, I was back and forth. And you know this cause I had both things in the show notes up until, right when I got here today, and I'm having a really hard time thinking about whether or not I'm going to recommend the former that I had in there. So you and I can maybe talk about that later. I know it's going to be the topic of an episode coming up. It's an Apple Watch. I just don't know.
Yeah.
What I'm recommending this week is the mouse that I use every day. It's the peripheral that I use the most, is the Logitech MX Master. It used to be Logitech's top of the line mouse, but since I bought one in January, they of course decided that they had to put out another version that was newer and better because they were like, oh, Will bought the old one, so we need to go ahead and make sure that his purchase is now obsolete.
We really need more of Will's money.
Right. Well, and the cool thing is this is currently an Amazon pick, and you can get it on sale, at least as of today, for $50, which I paid $75 for it, and it's well worth it for me. If you use a mouse, I use the touchpad for some things. I use Better Touch Tool in my touchpad, so I have all sorts of, you know, sort of shortcuts and gestures and things set up. But the Logitech MX mouse has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buttons. It has a horizontal scroll wheel, a vertical scroll wheel. It picks up on the glass desk that I have at work. It's become really essential to the way that I do work every day. Like, I have it set so that if I push down on the scroll wheel, I can take a screenshot, or I push down on one of the other buttons, it pops up copied, which I talked about in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
As one of the things that I always use. So it pops up my copied repository so I can pull things over like that. And it saves me. It doesn't save me a whole lot of time all at once, but it saves me seconds or portions of seconds throughout the day, to the point that when I go to use somebody else's computer and I have to click and drag on a touchpad like a monster, I have no idea what I'm doing. And by the way, Andy, I have been responsible for adding HTM signatures to everybody in my office with a Windows computer this week. Sweet God, Windows. What? What?
What is happening, Windows?
I'm going to things like, you know how if you're trying to get to like your home folder in Mac OS, you use like the tilde slash and then you go to other things and that leads you to your home folder? I forgot. Sort of? Yeah, you just try it later or now while I'm rambling, whatever. You can do like tilde slash and then put in the folder and it leads you to that folder within your home folder, I believe. On Windows, you have to do stuff with like percent signs. And it's super weird. And if you type it in wrong, like the computer makes a noise and it's not cool. Anyway, that made me wish that I had, because it'll just, I like the way I can get to copy and just copy and paste the HTML straight from one place to another. And with my Logitech MX Master, I can just click one button, double click what I'm trying to shortcut in there, and it's easy. I love it very much. There's a link to purchase that in the show notes. Full disclosure, that is an affiliate link. It's probably the only affiliate link that'll be in the show notes this week. No, that's a lie. That's a real big lie. Because the thing we're going to talk about this week definitely has some sort of... Guys, listen, we use affiliate links not because we're greedy, but because this shit ain't free.
It's true.
It's free for you. It ain't free for us. I'm keeping Andy away from valuable time with his wife and his cats. And he doesn't do this for free.
I don't know if you all know how important I am and how valuable my time is.
This man puts together websites for guacamole competitions and produces zines in his living room, which, because he lives in San Francisco, is also conveniently his bathroom, his bedroom, and his kitchen.
It's the most expensive warehouse space that you could possibly think of is my zine stock.
I genuinely hope that giant box you got in the mail is your recommendation in 2 weeks or a month whenever we sit down here again. I feel like a mattress can be an analog pick. Spoiler alert.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah.
I just today set up a mattress in a box and have not slept on it yet. So I'll report back next time we record.
Did you do the cool thing with the blade, like used to be you could use it to open envelopes, but instead you use it for like – because that's how Casper sent ours, wrapped in this like – fabric that you had to rip with. Did they send you a fabric ripper?
No, it's just all plastic wrapped, so this was tough to needle. So but I did definitely, like, as soon as I just started ripping into it, I could hear that
kind of
inhale noise from that. It was fun.
You carried it up how many flights of stairs to get to where you are?
I am on the third floor, so
two flights of stairs far.
I basically just sort of like drug it up one stair at a time. I'm sure my neighbors will thank me for the cthud. But
man, the UPS guy helped us with our Casper mattress when we got it at the old house, and I only had him help me get it into the back door, but like that's a dense package.
Yeah.
Ding. Yeah. That's a double entendre. That's a dense package. Man, I have to put that
thanks
down
for explaining that for everybody.
Show titles. Yeah, there's a lot of foam in that box.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I hope that works out for you. I hope you get a good night's sleep, and I'm going to help you get there by wrapping up the pencils and pixels portion of our program. Can you tell I have the pop screen back?
The pencils and pixels program. Should we
portion of our program? Yeah,
we should come up with a theme song just for pencils and pixels. If there's any musicians out there who want to record a little ditty for pencils and pixels, we will gladly use them as our.
I will fully roll that in. into the audio production portion of this.
Pencils and pixels.
And I'm just saying, we might have some. I shouldn't offer to pay for it, should I? No, I'm not going to do that.
We'll give you some stickers and some buttons.
Yeah, we might be able to send some swag your way depending on how we end up with things. Also, I'm partial to 8-bit, but I'll listen to anything. So, yeah, we would love that. But we should move on to the main topic of our show since, according to my my account, we're 30 minutes into this and we typically record about 100 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Have you seen our last few episodes have been right at about 100 minutes? It's kind of cool.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
So this time around, Andy Welfley, what's our topic du jour?
Well, it's kind of a bigger topic than I sort of like expected it to be. And I think partially because it's been just very, very relevant lately. And I do, before we really get into it, want to give a big shout out to Pete Dennison, who is a listener and a very active kind of community member. He has been really active on like our Facebook page in our Spectrum chat. And he actually suggested this. It was something we had sort of been like musing and playing around with. And when he suggested it, really clinched it for us that we want to talk about it. And that is analog versus digital subscriptions.
We actually picked up on this a couple weeks ago before two of the main apps that we'll touch on today had announced that they were going to subscription models.
We kind of set this topic a while ago, and then all of a sudden, like in kind of our little like world of expensive hipster iOS and macOS tools, two of them went to a subscription model. And it's become something everybody's been talking about lately. So part of it is it's a little bit intimidating because I don't know how unique of a spin I can add to it.
Think the fact that we are going to talk about both analog and digital and like some of the FOMO in particular that comes along or some of the FOMO that comes along with the analog subscriptions in particular, I think kind of adds a different spin to it. I mean, we're talking about subscriptions, so
yeah,
I mean, that can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I mean, it can mean anything from like we said earlier, we talked about like Amazon Prime and Hulu and Netflix, which are, you know, are technically subscription services.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that I kind of take for granted. I forget that it's a subscription until I get I didn't say that word right at all. It's a subscription. It's a subscription until I get the notification from PayPal every month that Netflix has taken more of my money, which is fine. I watch the Netflix. We added HBO Now to the Hulu subscription, which is a mistake because now I'm just like nose deep in really bad action comedies.
You know what? I have so many of those kind of like little subscriptions that we're actually still, I need to put this on my to-do list. We're paying for both HBO like on our television and HBO on our app because we're just
doing like HBO Go and HBO Now.
I think who knows what the hell the difference is. They have identical apps but with different names at different parts of it. So one of them I need to cancel and I don't know which one and it's a pain in the butt. But you know what?
Bonkers.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah.
There is a link in the show notes to, they discussed subscriptions a little while back on another podcast called Mac Power Users over on the Relay FM network. And one of the hosts there, David Sparks, referred to a spreadsheet that he has where he keeps track of all of the things to which he subscribes. And so the link to that post is on his blog at Max Sparky is in the show notes. And there is a link to that spreadsheet in there. So you can go every time you get a notification from your bank or from an email or every time you remember, hey, I subscribe to this thing. You can put it in there and it breaks it down into monthly and annual costs. So you can weep uncontrollably at your keyboard once you find out exactly how much you're paying for everything every year.
At this point, I don't even want to know. Like, I just don't want to know.
You're like, I don't want to track that. No, I just keep taking it out of my. It's not driving us broke yet. Maybe, probably.
I mean, so. think of how much money we would have if we didn't have all these. And I guess that's one of the questions we were going to talk about is like our behavior for these subscriptions. Like, are they impulse buys for us? Are they something we just like really consider and, you know, sit down and realize we use this enough, we're going to get this subscription. The trouble is, it's like for me, it's totally an impulse buy, and it shouldn't be. Like, I really need to like think about what apps I use every day, and then be honest with myself and decide whether or not I'm going to keep on using it. And I have been sort of signing up for these things impulsively, and it's like just nickels and dimes add up. There is an app, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I'm obviously not very well prepared, but it basically hooks into your email, and it tells you, it basically pulls out all of the recurring like billing and all of like the different like Apple Store, App Store, like billing, and tells you how much you pay in subscriptions. Do you remember the name of this app?
It's called Slice.
Slice. I found one called Bobby, but that looks to be British, and maybe it's American too, but Slice app.
Slices. I believe I've used some. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Well, this is something to do with, it looks like with tracking numbers and deliveries.
Yeah, that'll pull out tracking numbers and it'll tell you how much money you've spent in different categories over a course of time and things like that.
Oh.
And it pulls and analyzes and catalogs your seats from your email. Now, if you're not comfortable with something like that, then obviously don't download the app and don't give it access to your email. Duh.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things like I used to use Mint a lot more, the financial planning app Mint. And it was always interesting to see what my expenses, how it broke down into different categories. And Slice does that for receipts that get sent to your inbox.
Here we go. There's also something called Trim that looks at all this stuff, and it just gives you a list of all the stuff you're paying per month. And you can just sort of like, it looks like a chat bot, and you just respond to them and say like, oh, hey, go ahead and cancel my Spotify account. Or I see that I'm paying for Spotify and Apple Music. Which one do I like better? You know, cancel that one.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
It looks like there's a few of these things. I'll make sure that we have them in show notes. We talked about Slice. We talked about Trim. What do you subscribe to any analog subscription services?
I don't. And that's because I'm so fair weather. Well, I have literally an entire monitor stand / drawer full of notebooks.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you anything you aren't familiar with. I got it from when I caught the notebook, when I caught the stationary bug. Guy was running up on almost 2 or 3 years ago now, right before we started doing this podcast.
It led to this project though, right?
Yeah, it led to this project. This, the Pen Addict, well, whatever, 5x5 led to the Pen Addict. Pen Addict led to Erasable. Erasable led to my addiction. And then I had to find some way to justify that addiction. So I was like, Andy Welfley.
Let's do a podcast so I can talk about this.
You podcast things.
Yeah.
Let's do this. But yeah, so I have an entire, I don't know, essentially an entire desk drawer that's full of nothing but notebooks. I have cigar boxes upon cigar boxes full of pencils. I want new stuff, and we can talk about that a little bit too. Like, I had $27 worth of stuff in my cart at CW Pencils today because I was like, I have to do more than 25. It's free shipping. And then I was like, wait a second. I definitely don't need $27 worth of new pencils when I'm sitting here looking at 3 dozen pencils right now that I will not use in the entirety of my tenure at my work.
But even beyond stationery, do you do like the Dollar Shave Club, or do you do it like a BarkBox or any of those kind of like crates?
We did, the closest we've come to that is we did Blue Apron for a while. But as long time, I don't think we even mentioned it on the episode. Blue Apron and or my lack of ability to cook fish completely gave me really, really bad food poisoning once. It was probably much more me than it was Blue Apron. And the only reason I bring it up is because I literally recorded a podcast after I had been like laid up with food poisoning all day. I recorded an episode of this. So I don't know if I mentioned it on that or not. But yeah, we did Blue Apron for a while. And we can't do BarkBox because how are we going to pick who gets what? 3 dogs.
Just have to get 3 subscriptions.
Oh, God. I don't do Dollar Shave Club because I don't Dollar Shave. I have to trim my beard off tonight. But even now, I'm only like cutting my beard every week or week and a half. And that's just because my face gets hot. No, I don't do anything analog. Not for lack of want or desire. I always get to that. And I'm not known for my impulse control, that's for sure. But I typically get right to that point where I'm going to hit the button and I'm like, do I really need $100 worth of field notes over the next year?
And generally, I feel like analog subscriptions tend to be a little bit more kind of like expensive at one time. Even though you can pay for a year of, let's say, Ulysses up front, spoiler alert, and that's like $40, it's still $40, whereas a field note subscription, for example, is $100 up front.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess I do 3 paid stationery subscriptions. I do Field Notes, the color subscription, where I get a quarterly pack of limited edition Field Notes. I do the Blackwing volumes, where I get a quarterly dozen Blackwing pencils. And I also just recently started doing a paid Write Notepad subscription. And for reasons why, like, similar to what I mentioned last time we recorded, that was my analog pick before Pencils and Pixels, copyright 2017, Wolf Hanke.
TM.
So I guess I do three of those right now, and it's easy to track because it's $300 a year, which I is a lot of money. But
well, yeah, but you make that West Coast money.
Oh, I make
$300 is like
sweet West Coast money.
$300 is like it's dinners out and a Segway.
That is 3 days rent.
I don't want to think about it.
It's sweet literally God, three days rent.
Oh, good Lord. I don't want to think about that at all.
So,
so when you're out on the street, you're just going to like be selling old Field Notes. Is that how that works?
You know what? Give me another day in my apartment. I will give you these two packs of Field Notes. Oh, no, I'll give you, Jesus, $100 full. I'll give you eight packs of Field Notes per day to stay in my apartment.
I know how the Field Notes are the first ones to go, and the Blackwing's not even close.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I will use these for kindling before I sell them to you.
So part of it is I know full well that I do not use my pocket notebooks and my pencils as fast as I acquire them. So I'm already well beyond Sable, which Sable being stash acquisition beyond life.
Expectancy?
Yeah. So it's a term somebody on Pen Addict came up with to just basically say, like, if you were to take all the pencils you have right now, would it take you a lifetime to use them? The answer is yes. Several lifetimes, in fact.
And then someone else's lifetime, and then someone else's lifetime too.
But you know what? I'm going to write it off as we spend a lot of time discussing these things on Erasable. We spend time here discussing them sometimes too, if they're relevant. It makes me happy to get that every month, so, or every quarter. So I'm down with it. I also get a lot of the Baron Fig subscription stuff. I do not, full disclosure, pay for it because I am a product reviewer. They've actually been really surprisingly quiet lately. I haven't seen a product release in a few weeks.
Well, that's because, yeah, right? But that's because they had the podcast.
Yeah.
Which inaugural episode stars somebody that I know and love. They had that. They had the backpacks a couple weeks ago. They just released those. The pencils that you were kind enough to send me a partial pack of, those were their most recent Archer subscription, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So,
they've been busy. And actually, you know, it's probably relevant to talk about it here, especially later when we talk about sort of the sustainability of subscription models. They are actually going to stop their subscription service.
All of them?
All of them at this point.
Oh, wow.
I'd be interested to know if they keep it on as sort of like, you could subscribe to regular stock because, you know, if you go through these once a quarter, you know, we'll just send you a new one and charge you for it. But they have sort of they've arrived at capacity for their 6-person operation to have a quarterly reinvention of two different notebooks and a pencil and a pen every quarter. So they bit off more than they can chew. They're going to stop that. You can hear more about that on Erasable or the Pen Addict. We had vastly, vastly different reactions, me and Brad Dowdy to all this.
I'm laughing quietly on the inside.
Yeah. Brad's a great guy, but he definitely
he has opinions.
He has, you know, bloggers, podcasters got opinions. That's a thing we can say.
It's how we keep the lights on.
Exactly.
You know, with all that money we're making for the podcast. I think about what Baron Fig is trying to do, and like I admire they've been able to last this long because that is a huge creative undertaking.
Yeah. And you know, it's something that they've really tried to do with varying success with, especially with the Confidant. Like, to me, that is my favorite of their of what they've had for the limited edition subscription so far.
Yep.
This kind of gets into one of my points is, you know, people have much different philosophies when it comes to kind of the purpose of these quarterly subscriptions. And, you know, it's always sort of been underlying the Field Notes Colors subscriptions kind of after they stopped doing just different colored covers, when they started getting into like a half tone full color cover and different form factors and things like that. But it really kind of became apparent during the Baron Fig Askew days. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a pencil blogger, Mike Hagen from Leadfest. And this was like, you know, we're friends. It was a friendly thing, but it's interesting how differently we kind of looked at it. And he really sees these Baron Fig subscriptions as, you know, funding like four notebooks to be delivered to him that is kind of within the confines of what the confidence are. So like, you know, there are these cloth bound notebooks that are dot grid or lined or blank or whatever. And that's what he likes. That's what he uses. And he wants four of them out of it.
Those are sidebar, the best notebooks of that size and format.
Best notebooks of that size and format. It's when we had our Erasable Top 5 show, we were all sort of surprised to discover that that was the case for us three hosts. Like, we all loved the Confidant as sort of the A5-ish size notebooks.
I've only ever had the one from the time that we did the giveaways on the podcast, and I had blank, and I'm not a huge blank fan. Dot grid fan, obviously. You know, TM on that too, Dr. TM. But I've only ever, and even though it was blank, I was just like, I was in love with that. Just the quality, the build. And this was early on. This is when that's all they were doing, was those. And like every once in a while, they'd have a new edition of the, what are the pocket ones called? Not the Confidant. What's the other one?
The Vanguards.
Yeah. No, they were called something before they were called the Vanguards.
They were called Apprentices.
Yeah. The Apprentices. Which I still like those two. I like the form. I carry one of those every day right now because those are a little bit shorter than a Field Notes. Basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is Baron Fig form factor, knocking it out of the park. But anyway, so how do you view Baron Fig Askew?
So it sort of made apparent to me after they released they released the Baron Fig Askew, which the Confidant.
You mentioned that already, yeah.
Yeah. What they did is they took a Confidant and they basically hand-drawn the lines, the ruling inside that Confidant. And some of them were like regular, some of them were like crazy. And it's basically something they released just to get people, you know, thinking a little bit differently or kind of working to fill in those notebooks or to experiment. It was a grand experiment. And, you know, I loved it. I was like, you know, if this isn't something that's for me every day, you know, I'll get into it sometimes when I'm just really trying to like exercise my brain muscles. I love that they took a risk, and some people hated it so much. And so I guess I sort of like firmed up on the idea that, you know, we're basically buying futures in this company. You know, with wine, for example, if you really like wine, I'm not like a huge wine fan, you can basically buy a membership to a winery, and that buys you a section, like, so X number of bottles of wine that has not, like, is still fermenting and is still being created. So you're buying wine futures, and you get to go and you get to like try some at the winery if you want to and see how it's coming along. But you're basically investing in this company that you trust to give you good wine. And that's totally how I see paying Field Notes and Baron Fig and Blackwing up front. Like, you are, you know, sometimes you're going to have a dud, sometimes you're going to have a winner. But you are giving them your seal of confidence, saying like, hey, I really like the idea that you're doing what you're doing. What's his name? Jim Kudal from Field Notes was on the Big Web Show recently, which is, it's a guy, it's run by, Jeffrey Zeldman, who is a project manager / UX designer. He has a podcast.
He does all of the event apart, list apart, book apart
stuff. Yeah, does all that stuff. Mostly he and Jim Kudal were talking about the DEC, which is an old, may it rest in peace, advertising network that kind of relied on like brand and trust building rather than like impressions and conversions. And they talked a little bit about Field Notes subscription models and how popular it's been and how, you know, they really rely on kind of that upfront payment to fund some of the bigger, like, stranger runs that they do. So probably about once a year, sometimes twice a year, they do something that's a little bit more of a risk. Like, I would say the Byline Edition was a risk. You know, they basically took a reporter's notepad and kind of put the field notes spin on it. Isn't my favorite thing ever, but it's still great, and I use mine. They also use that to fund, they did a Perfect Bound notebook, Black Ice, which was kind of received lukewarmly. And so it's not my favorite editions ever, but it's a risk that they're taking, and I like that they do that.
Well, that was how they paid for the gold on the Ambition edition too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I had no idea you were going to talk about this episode of that podcast. It's really great just to hear two guys that have been doing their kind of work in the design world. And like, I'll listen to Jim Koodall talk just about all day, because I think just all the different things that he's done, all the different little businesses that he's spun up and kept going, and in some cases spun back down, are just super, super interesting. I had no idea you were going to bring that up.
I
highly recommend that episode of that show.
Yeah, we'll have it in show notes. And one thing that he really touched on from a marketing perspective that I had never thought about before, but it's super true, is I mentioned this on Erasable last week, or last episode too, when we talked to Charles Barrelsheimer, who does the volume subscription for Blackwing. You sort of have this like built-in 4 times a year touch point where you can talk to your customers and say, hey, we have something new for you. And people will gladly and passionately open that email from you. So it's basically a chance to like just check in with your customer base, you know, 4 times a year. And as I'm sure, as you know, as a marketer, that's like invaluable, because it's hard to send an email that will get the kind of open rate that, you know, one of those product announcements will get.
Oh God, I send a newsletter to 21,000 people every week. And if I can get like a 24% open rate, that's pretty, like if I can get like a 30% open rate, like that's a really solid week.
How do we apply a subscription model to the things that you're promoting, Will?
I don't want to talk about what I do professionally. Please don't make me get into that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same way that you do. Is it okay if I go off on this?
Please do. Yeah.
I'm on a tangent now. I feel the same way that you do about a lot of the digital products to which I subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
The main one, and again, this is hashtag newsworthy, is Ulysses, which is a writing program that you and I have both talked about, not exactly ad nauseum, but it's definitely something that you and I both use every day, multiple times a day, for all sorts of different things. And they switched over to a subscription model this last week. I view it as me saying to a company, here is my money, not because you make a product that I enjoy, but because I trust that you will continue to make things that are of high quality, and I'm using it. You made it. You deserve to make money from it. Yeah. I kicked myself. This is how recently I purchased the desktop edition. I had not, or the mobile edition. I had not purchased it when the last episode of this podcast came out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I bought it. And then, of course, just like with the Logitech mouse, soon as I bought it, they were like, hey, subscription model. And my first gut instinct, being the still having that sort of mindset of there was a time in my life when I did not have disposable income to subscribe to things, and I would find a way to, you know, I may have found a way to pirate them. I neither confirm nor deny that may have happened.
Yeah.
But like initially my gut was like, oh, subscription model, I can't believe you're doing this. But then I was like, wait a second, like $3 a month for this app that I use all the time? Like, yes, that is super reasonable. If Apple wanted to charge me $30 a day for a computer that I use every day as an ongoing subscription model, I would strongly consider that, because it's something I need to have to do my job. You know, something that I get, especially with Ulysses, something that I get genuine joy out of using.
Right.
Like, there are lots of other products that can do things that are similar, but there's not anything where I can really say to myself, wow, I enjoy opening up this app. I enjoy looking at it. I enjoy typing into it. I enjoy when I make it into a full screen app and it's just me and Ulysses and I'm typing in here. It makes me feel good. I like it.
And that's kind of how I feel about it. And I have recently subscribed to Ulysses, and also to Day One, which is a journaling app that we've talked probably ad nauseum about. It's a really beautiful journaling app.
We had almost an entire episode that was
we did.
And yeah, like one of the early episodes, where our journaling episode, we talked a lot of, you and I I'm going to use the term, you and I gushed over day one.
We gushed. It's
and the
true.
Beauty and the versatility and the just general overall positive user experience of it. So you're paying for it now.
So actually today, a blogger, a tech blogger who I follow, Matt Gemmel, wrote a thing about subscription software. And he kind of gave his framework to think about if he wants to wants to subscribe to something. He kind of thinks about it as these three questions. He goes, do I use this at least a few times a week? Am I personally invested in its future? And is it indispensable somehow, maybe because of file format lock-in, industry standard usage, or something like that? So for me, that third question is already sort of answered. I work at a big tech company and they pay for a Microsoft 365 license and my Adobe license. And that kind of answers the idea that it's an industry standard or file format lock-in or things that I use like that. So I'm privileged enough to already kind of have that covered. And I guess the thing that I would add to this for myself, do I use this at least a few times a week? Am I personally invested in its future? And as you said, Will, is this something that brings me joy to use? You know, it's kind of like the tech nerd version of that that life-changing magic of cleaning up book, tidying up. You know, you're supposed to hold something in your hand and say, you know, does this object bring me joy? And if the answer is yes, keep it. And so this is kind of the digital version of that. Maybe?
No, I feel, yeah, that's what I feel. I mean, I'm looking at, you and I have, I don't want to say a rather exhaustive list here in the show notes. I do note, by the way, that neither of us put Evernote on this list.
It's true.
Because there are things in here that there are things that I list in here that I don't pay for. Like do you subscribe to Text Expander?
Yes, I do.
I do not. I use A-Text and I'm happy with it. I know Text Expander would give me more, but A-Text doesn't do anything that I don't.
There's some reason, and I don't quite remember what this reason is, that I pay $2.49 a month for Text Expander, and I paid for like 2 years up front or something like that. So I basically just sort of like set it and forget it for a while.
Well, there you go. That's not bad. That's what I ended up doing with Carrot Weather. I was poking around trying to find different weather services that had good Apple Watch apps, and Carrot Weather just had a brand new update. I think they went to version 4.0. I highly recommend it. The first thing you have to do when you go into it is adjust the AI and turn it all the way up to overkill, because then it cusses at you and it's great. I pulled up the weather today. Here comes our explicit tag. I pulled up the weather today, and because it is Tennessee and what it is, she said, it's 98 degrees outside. It's really fucking hot. I was like, yeah, it is.
Sure enough.
Yeah, you are correct. Because in Tennessee in August, it can be 98 with a dew point of like 75 and a humidity. It's like breathing. Ugh. It's like what I assume breathing in Carl the Fog is, only it's like in a microwave.
Yeah, it's always pretty cool here. Like it might get up into the mid 80s at some point for like a couple days, and everybody will be complaining. Twitter will be full of like complainy San Francisco douchebags. But also we don't have air conditioning, right? So of which I am also a complainy San Francisco guy. To be fair, I do not have air conditioning in my apartment. Hardly anybody does. So if it gets in the 80s, it gets really gross.
Yeah, I had a buddy that just traveled out to Portland, and he was like, yeah, we were out there, and people were like, oh God, it was so hot. And he's like, and I don't have a jacket. I was like, what is wrong with you people? Because it's the Pacific Northwest. It's the same way. They just, things get over 85. People are like, oh my God, I'm melting. And you're like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
A little bit of a breeze. I could stay out here all day. Yeah, it's not like that in Tennessee.
Yeah. So going back real quick to some of the apps that have kind of moved to a subscription model, I think it is clear that the way that the App Store, the Apple App Store specifically, has sort of been set up from the start is that it was a little bit broken. You know, now you can subscribe from within the app, and it's still a little bit of a hack. Like Ulysses has like kind of a weird thing going on that I need to figure out. I've been getting kind of like little modals that pop up when I launch the app, even though I have subscribed and have downloaded the subscription one that says like, hey, you should sign up for Ulysses subscription.
Have you restored your purchases?
Yeah. I should do that.
It leveled everything out on mine. It didn't help that they did change the icon, but they didn't change it very much. So I had two versions of Ulysses on my computer for a while. And then they released an update yesterday that allows you to take advantage of your free use time, which I have 11 months of because I own the mobile app and I just bought the desktop app. They just set it up so that you can take use of your free use time and then subscribe. I will probably end up subscribing before that because, again, this is an app that I enjoy and that I believe in. And while I do have essentially a free year, I would hate to feel like if something happened to them, I'd be like, I could have subscribed and I could have given them $20 and then they would still be around. And that's how invested I am in that.
And to be fair, this is kind of like a tech hipster thing that we have. There's a lot of people who don't see the advantage of a markdown editor, like a kind of a plain text, easy to look at, very clean text editor.
Yeah, I work with 2 dozen of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft Word is... Yeah, Microsoft, where I am.
Microsoft Word is what is Office 365? Is it $20 a month? $10 a month?
We have a business subscription. So
yeah, and so I
have it, so I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I think that Matt Gemmell says that he has like a family account that's like $20 a month. And for a lot of people, you know, Excel and Word and all of the things that come with the Microsoft setup is like the way to go. It's very industry standard.
Yeah, it's ingrained. It's stuff people have been using for a long time. And then there's stuff like Dropbox and iCloud. We talked about that a little bit last time. Storage is essential to me. I didn't realize, God, how big was a floppy disk? It was like 1.33 megabytes.
Yeah.
And now I have this 256 gigabyte solid state drive my computer, and yet I still keep clean my Mac on here to make sure that I don't have too much extra gunk just hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like Day One and Ulysses are two of the apps that kind of recently went to subscription model. I know at least with Ulysses, there is they wrote like a Medium post about why they did it. You know, it's clear that kind of a sustaining revenue model is better for evolving a product. They can have like revenue that they can expect and therefore kind of invest in a roadmap rather than say like, you know, work toward a goal and then saying like, okay, everybody, I know that you just paid $25 for this app 2 years ago, but here's Day One too. that's how you end up with things like Day One too.
Right. Cause that's the way you have to do it. Cause it's only with point releases, and even then only with new versions of point releases can you make any money and not just give it as a free upgrade. And then inevitably you're going to end up with, I think the last time I checked, Ulysses was rated 2.5 stars in the App Store.
Yeah.
This was a 5-star app, like a 4.8 star app. The entire time it goes in the store, they put up the new version that's a subscription model, 2.5. I can't believe I have to pay for this.
Yeah.
Did the developer just stop eating after you bought it the first time?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's clear that, you know, they had to do some hacks to kind of like stay within Apple's ecosystem. And I guess we are very Apple centric here. I want to be like cognitive of the idea that there are both web apps and Windows apps that, you know, may run the same model. I've actually been trying to think, and I'd be interested to know what you think, Will. Why things like this are, like Ulysses switching to subscriptions, are generally better received by tech people than, you know, like the Evernote model. I didn't use Evernote a lot, but after they sort of went to their, you know, 2-device limited model for free, I'm just like, Evernote. And I just sort of like dropped it. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like it's because tech people appreciate tech people. You know, like the people that are putting together Ulysses and Text Expander and 1Password every month are, you know, by and large, not only just making great products, but they're the people in our sort of inclusive community, the people to whom we are referring that are kind of entrenched in the Apple tech community, are people that respect other developers. You know, you're not a developer, neither am I, but we both know them. We've both worked with them, and we both know that these are not things that people can just sit down and go, hey, I want to make an app that has multiple different journals, takes on photos, and oh, by the way, syncs wirelessly and effortlessly through a cloud system that really I don't have any direct access to because Apple controls it all. I'm just going to put this together in a week and a half.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that takes time and energy and effort and a vision and a roadmap. And like, Younger me did not respect this. Younger me pirated the shit out of some software. I'm not even going to lie. I think I had the last non-internet verified version of Photoshop on a computer until like, don't tell your employer, Andy Wellfleet.
Oh, God.
No, but that was, I mean, that was how I got, I mean, that was how I got through college, was I felt like I needed a thing to do some stuff. I didn't have $100 to drop on Photoshop. Are you kidding me? I had beer to buy, you know? I had horrible investments to make. I had to pay, you know, retail and a half for two, not one, but two Nintendo Wiis. Come on, Andy. I can't spend $100 on an essential app. Are you shitting me? But now that I have, I don't necessarily want to call it just, and I don't view the money I spend on Apple Music or Amazon Prime or what I used to spend on Instapaper, and I don't need more because it's free now. Thanks, Pinterest. But I don't view the money I spend on that as disposable income. I view that as income that makes my job and my life better. You know, it's not like I bought an Apple Watch recently, as I've mentioned many times in this tone of voice in this podcast. That is not a thing I had to have by any means. I also own a watch, and it would have done almost the same thing, but I sunk about $300 into an Apple Watch for two reasons. One, I finished up a big freelance project. And two, I am going to try to do the best I can to get myself into better shape before the end of the year. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can sink a bunch of money into workout clothes, but I'm pretty sure if I sink $300 in this Apple Watch, it's going to be staring at me from the stand every morning and saying, get your fat ass out of bed and go walk for 30 minutes.
Can you download an app that does that? I bet you can.
Oh, I guarantee you I could.
An app that just shames you?
Right. Well, Carrot is apparently really good at that, not just with the weather, but also with like the to-do list. And they have one of those 7-minute workout apps. So I guarantee you that thing would shame you into working out every day. But I look at it and I say to myself, do I really like persistent notifications are like, I feel like I'm like, oh, yeah, I always want to be in touch. But at the same time, I'm like, I really don't need to know in the middle of this meeting that I'm getting another email about another meeting I have to go to that could have waited. Also, I'm never more than an arm's length away from some other kind of device that gets notifications. I don't need it for that. And I told myself I was going to use to track my sleep and really the battery life on mine. And here I go. I'm going off on this rant I told you I wasn't going to do. The battery life on mine is not as great as I would hope. So basically what I have now is a $300 small computer screen that I really need to start investing some workout data into. Otherwise, I have spent $300 on this very expensive thing that taps me on the wrist when I get a text message. So I guess all of what I'm coming around to say is I view that money as just sunken costs that I need to recoup. I don't view the money that I spend on Amazon Prime or even Hulu, you know, maybe a little bit on Netflix, but even the stuff that I spend on like Hulu, like that, or Apple Music, like those are things that I get legitimate enjoyment out of that far exceeds what I feel as though I have to spend to get into it. But then again, I don't have that spreadsheet that tells me exactly how much I'm spending.
I think you should have one of those Mad Money styles, like cable shows, except just about your impulse purchases, like justifying your impulse purchases.
I'm so much better about that now that I'm well medicated. Like Elizabeth is so much happier with the way that I'm doing things now.
Everybody can kind of use that as inspiration to talk to their spouses or partners, like for justification for why they've made impulse purchases. Like, Will on TV says that my Apple Watch is actually going to get me in shape, and it's
Yeah, good luck with that. It's not. I wanted to go to the gym today, so Elizabeth took off today. So I said to myself, I'm going to go to the gym and go work out. But the dogs were here, and I was going to sit down and record this with you. So I'm going to go tomorrow and spend about an hour on the bike. If anybody has any good Apple Watch fitness apps that they want to recommend to me, I'm all ears because I need a plan, Andy Wellfleet.
We should have recorded this podcast with a driving beat behind it. So like you can like cycle and listen at the same time.
Yeah, I should have done that. Or at least when I was editing. Maybe I'll put the beat in. Maybe there is a backbeat on this. Maybe you don't know. This hasn't gone to production yet. You don't know what
that's
I'm going to
do. That's true. We'll fix it in post.
Yep. 104 beats a minute. I feel like that's probably a good one. I don't know how many that is. Maybe I'll cycle on that. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
Can I set how many beats per minute I want in Overcast? Ooh. Is that a thing?
Ooh, that would be... Oh, man. Wouldn't that be a great... You know, they have smart speed, so I feel like you totally could do this, Marco. Just like...
Just set it at beats per minute.
So like you can hear John Gruber just like talking to you in like rhythm.
He talks to you like this so you continue to pedal the bike. Yeah, I think... I see it working. TM, trademark that.
Apple's quarterly calls came in and earnings, profits.
Profits.
I'm not a very good Apple blogger.
No, nor are you a good, nor are you a very good rapper.
I'm not. Yeah,
you're not a good off-the-cuff rapper.
The worst rap ever.
It's okay. It's quarterly profits. Yeah, you're right. That's pretty lame. It happens. By and large, I'm in favor of subscription models for most things because I feel as though. Okay, so I'm more in favor of something like Ulysses or Baron Fig than I am like Netflix or Hulu. Because Netflix and Hulu, they're not hurting for cash. I'm not giving them money because I'm investing in their platform because I believe in it. I'm giving them money because it's better than giving Comcast money.
Yeah, and honestly, like at this point, like, yeah, compared to Comcast and Time Warner and all those things, Netflix is still like a relatively small company. At least they're focused. Like they're not trying to be all things to all people. They just want to deliver like digital content to you like pretty quickly and easily. And they
will drop Blu-rays off at your door though.
Yeah.
They still do that.
Yeah. And they are putting a lot of money into, you know, that they just, Shonda Rhimes is moving her TV shows off. Is it ABC?
Yeah.
And going to Netflix. And you know, they must have offered her hella cash because her shows count for probably a large chunk of the revenue that, you know, ABC makes.
Oh, so for sure.
I don't even know, like maybe they announced it. I have no idea how much they offered her to do that. But the fact that they're investing in kind of their own original content is, you know, I hate the word disruption. People use it around here all the time, but you know what is ripe for some disruption is the cable media, like the television industry. And I love the idea that, you know, Netflix and Hulu are going to try to like create some original programming and get the stuff, you know, on there. You know, YouTube is doing their own TV service and Hulu has their own. And, you know, who else? Somebody else is doing it.
Disney just pulled all their stuff off of Netflix and they're going to do their own subscription service.
And unfortunately, like when it's something like that, like Disney's a huge company, it's a big cash grab and it's kind of like fragmenting that. That's kind of annoying. I actually haven't experimented with these sort of like live TV plans quite yet. Have you?
Yes.
How did it go?
Not well.
Really? Do tell.
So we've had Hulu for years, and ever since they started offering the commercial free plan, we bumped up to that. So I'm already giving them like $13 a month anyway.
Yeah.
Well, come the end of hockey season, when I stopped being able to get it through the Fox Sports Go app, and because everything had switched over to NBC for the Stanley Cup playoffs, go Preds. I subscribed. It was right about the time that Hulu announced their live TV option. I was like, okay, well, this is perfect because they're going to give me a month free. And based on previous history, that's as long as the Preds are going to last in the playoffs anyway. Sorry, guys. They proved me wrong and I was so happy about it. That's how long they're going to last anyway. I will test this out because it gives me access to the NBC channels that I need. And it did give me access to those channels. But the quality of the stream was so poor that there were some games during the second and third round of the playoffs that I still legitimately pirated via YouTube and just airplayed them to the TV. Like, I'm legally paying for this service and it sucks so much I'm going to break the law, I assume. I don't really, it was a Russian that was breaking the law. I was just watching it on YouTube.
Right.
If you watch it on YouTube, that makes it okay, I think.
Absolutely.
Degrees of separation. Kevin Bacon's in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there were, it just, the live TV, just, it did not go well. And then there are always the caveats that are in there, like ABC, NBC, CBS, you still couldn't watch live. So the main reason why we would have kept it on, which is so Elizabeth can watch every show in the Bachelor family of programming, although family makes it sound much more wholesome than it really is. the reason we would have kept it on so she could watch that live on Monday nights is a moot point because you can't do that. There's still very little in the way of live sports because that's still a lot of that's controlled by NBC, CBS, and Fox. So there wasn't that and the only sport on that time of year is like basketball. Nobody watches basketball. Katie watches basketball.
She does.
Nobody else watches basketball. so, I mean, it was a lackluster experience. I will not be trying it again I might try, like, if they offered the YouTube stuff here, I would try it to see if it was more reliable. I think Sling offers something that you can view through the Apple TV. If what I understand, they offer most of the channels that I need for about $10 less per month. I might try that again. But going, I mean, really, literally the only thing we use cable for to watch on a live basis is hockey. Everything else we pretty much just watch on demand, either via Hulu or via the apps that we have. Want to send a shout out to my very good friend Lindsay, who you met in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Currently using her Comcast login. Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate that. I was using somebody else's. We had a deal. He was using my Spotify. I was using his Comcast. Spotify died.
You millennials and your sharing economy.
I know. Well, yeah. I think in Tennessee, I think I actually look at that at some point. I think Tennessee passed a law where sharing Netflix passwords was illegal. So shit.
Look at me. I'm a millennial. I have a subscription to avocado toast.
Exactly. Have you seen this? The hold my avocado is the phrase millennials have been looking for.
It's the
hold my beer for millennials.
Yep.
Something else I wanted to ask you while we were talking about TV shows. Have you seen the four shows that NBC is talking about resurrecting?
Sort of. I know Will and Grace is one of them, right?
No. We're beyond that. Will and Grace has actually already had their first season extended and been renewed for a second season.
Oh,
they're talking about doing these four shows.
Okay.
One of them you're going to have a gut reaction to, and that is The West Wing.
Okay.
Talking about bringing The West Wing back. Don't know how they would do that. They're talking about bringing ER back, which I think would be great because there's still a significant portion of our generation who would be okay with ER.
Okay. Anthony Edwards is dead. Noah Wiley is like moved on to other things. He's kind of like a douchebag.
They're not pulling,
George Clooney's
they're
a
not
little
pulling
bit
Clooney.
Yeah.
No, he's
Juliana Margulies is busy.
Right. George Clooney's too busy making commercials in foreign countries for large amounts of money so he can keep satellites in the air and keep tabs on what's happening in Sudan. The other two shows, which kind of hit me at my core because I thought they both ended very well and I don't want to see rebooted, are 30 Rock and The Office.
Oh, man. No, yes. That's 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the writing team for The Office is doing. You'd have to bring Dwight back because he's the manager of The Office now. That's how it ended. You'd have to bring back almost an entirely new cast for that. And don't even get me started on 30 Rock. I thought that show had a brilliant cast to begin with. They'd have a hard time bringing Tina Fey back in because she's currently writing for Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan can't do what he used to be able to do. He's better, but dude still is not 100%.
Let's just leave. I mean, if you want to bring back a new Star Trek series, that's fine.
I'll take another Parks and Rec. And I hold that one in really high regard. Yeah. But at least that one kind of left where you feel like you could see some of those actors coming back and like filling in roles in national and or local government. I feel like that's something that kind of lasts in perpetuity. But don't like
I got it. Let's combine Parks and Rec and West Wing and talk about the White House staff of President Leslie Knope.
I like that much better than talking about the Parks and Recreation staff of somebody that is of like, I don't know, a Jack Donaghy type character. You know,
the current administration?
And that's going to do it for us here on Nochgrid. This is where it goes off the rails, and we are not going that direction.
We're just going to start punching Nazis. That's the rest of this episode.
Andy, I believe that you and I agree.
I have a subscription to Nazi punching.
I believe that you and I can agree that as far as national news is concerned, it has been a shitty week, and it's only Tuesday.
And that's why we're talking about, paying for our plain text editor because
guys,
that's our escape.
Spend money and time and energy and effort and love on the things that make you happy.
Speaking of subscriptions, what you should do is pay for a subscription to the New York Times.
Not the New York Times this week because they put out that op-ed that nobody agreed with or whatever. Washington Post, I can concur. McSweeney's even. I don't care.
Well, in some way, fund some legitimate reporting and journalism. So,
from two journalism kids,
you can support the great effort of journalism and the Combating of Fake News. That is a good subscription to have. I
do that.
I actually need to do that. We have a subscription to The New Yorker. We use it. Katie reads it every week. I read kind of here and there on my iPad. But yeah, we need to subscribe to like the SF Chronicle or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't subscribe to the Tennessean because it's a Gannett publication and I am completely anti-Gannett. I just don't like their whole corporate structure, but we're not going to talk about corporate buyouts. We're not going to talk about huge monopoly corporations because dude, I tried to get a refill on my prescription while my health insurance had lapsed and I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to talk about big pharma. I don't want to talk about politics. I just want to tell all of you Dot Grid listeners, my lovely and adorable Dot Griddles, please, please, please find time to pet a dog or meditate or invest time and energy and whatever.
Take care of your mental health.
Yes. Take care of yourselves because there's a lot of negativity floating around out there, but guess what? You don't have to be part of that. As my dad so lovingly used to tell me, and I hate that I still have to do this thing, Dad. 10% what happens and 90% how you react to it. So you know what? Put a positive spin on it or just do what I do. Just don't read the news. Just let Andy tell you what happens.
Meanwhile, I'll just like text you like the world's on fire. Cause
Andy's just like, Andy will just text me 3 times a day the meme of the dog with the fire all around him saying this is fine.
This is
fine. I'll just be continuing what it is. Just please take care of your mental health because if you can't take care of yourself, you're no good to help anybody else either.
And it's like the airline safety video thing. When the oxygen mask comes down, make sure that your own mask is safe and secure before you help somebody else with theirs.
Thanks, Andy. My wife's not on a transatlantic flight right now or anything. Appreciate that.
I hope that if she has to help somebody on with their oxygen mask, she will have hers on first.
Well, the good news is I got this text message in the middle of the show. She and her friend who are on this flight together have an empty seat between them in their row.
That's nice.
Almost as good as an upgrade.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, they're on a like 7.5 or 8 hour flight from Newark to Paris. So enjoy that, my love. You're not going to hear this until you get back, but enjoy that anyway. Andy Wellfleet, enjoy the rest of your time and your week and all of your other stuff. Take care of yourself because if you don't take care of yourself, how the hell are you going to take care of me? If you need to find us on social media because you have opinions, and don't we all have opinions, you can either tweet at the podcast, at @dotgridpodcasts, and I should probably re-add that to my Twitter clients. This is what happens when you set up 2 computers from scratch. And you forget to add all your Twitter clients back. You sent out the tweet today saying what we were going to be speaking about this evening. I was like, oh, look, DotGrid tweeted. I should have known about this. If you want to get in touch with me on the internet, the best way to do that is through Twitter. I'm at Will Fangy, W-I-L-L, F as in field notes, A-N-G-U-Y. I stole it from you.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Stole it from you. Where are you on the internet, Andy?
I am at first initial, last name, A-W-E-L, F as in fig, as in Baron Fig, L-E, on Twitter. And you can find the rest of me on wealthy.com or andy.coffee.
Andy.coffee. I was hoping you were...
Not guacamole.expert.
But still highly recommended guacamole.expert. Yes. Are you
still go there.
Are you listed in the... In like the... Not the letterhead. What do they call that? The masthead for that?
The robothumans.text or whatever.
The robothumans.text. Yes. Yes. Underscore.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely doing this as a,
an unnamed partner.
I'm in stealth mode.
Unnamed partner.
Yeah. You should talk about the chat, the Spectrum chat.
Yeah. Come hang out with us over on Spectrum. That is spectrum.chat
/dotgrid.
Thank you, Andy. Spectrum.chat/dotgrid. We're trying to get that a little more involved. Andy sat down with a big wig at Spectrum today. There's some exciting things on the horizon.
Oh, hey, one more thing. I became a premium member for $5 a month of Spectrum because I am interested in its development and I want to see these guys win. So
subscribing to Spectrum, we can recommend that too.
if you want to work on your swag stack, stickers,
yeah,
buttons, and profile frames.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that hashtag Swagstack picks up this week. Should be a good one.
Obviously, we're trendsetters. It will pick up.
I know. You know what nobody says anymore? On Fleek. You know why? Because we adopted it and that immediately made it uncool.
And we killed it. We killed it.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself, Andy Wellfleet. I love you.
Yeah, I love you.
All right, buddy.